Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. I want to speak to you this morning on the power of praise. The power of praise. Got four stories in the Bible we're going to look at, and then we're going to go into a time of high praise. I want you to stir yourself up, get ready, and I want to build your faith also for what we're about to do. Now, when we go to Numbers chapter 22 through 24, there's a story of King Balak of Moab, basically, who was an enemy of Israel, offered this prophet called Balaam money, paid him money, bribed him to go and curse Israel. But Balaam ended up blessing the Israelites instead, because as he was basically, he could not curse them. It's one of those things when he was about to go, bless. That's one of the things we talk about, right? The favor of God, when people are about to say, yes, comes out. Hallelujah. They cannot say no to you. They cannot curse you. Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. And the key verse is found in Numbers 23, verse 21. This is the Amplified Classic. It says, God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, for he is forgiven. Neither has he seen mischief or perverseness in Israel for the same reason. The Lord their God is with Israel, and the shout of praise to their king is among the people. The shout of praise to the king is among the people. And because that shout of praise was like a shield, come on, an invisible force shield that protected them from the curses and the attacks of their enemy. The shout of praise is a weapon. The shout of praise is a part of your shield of faith, because a shout of praise is a declaration of your faith. When you begin to shout, and notice it says a shout of praise, it doesn't say a whisper of praise. The shout of praise. Can I hear a shout of praise? And it was like that shout of praise just repelled and pushed back against the wicked plan of the enemy. How many of you want to push back against the wicked plan of the enemy against your life? The shout of praise to the king. God was Israel's king, and that shout of praise was among the people. And God inhabits, dwells among the praises of his people. So the enemy would have to penetrate God himself to get to you, and that is not possible. Hallelujah. Then there's another story. We find this in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 27. You can go and read the whole story, but Israel was led into the promised land by Joshua. They're finally entering in the early stages. It's taken them 40 years to finally get there, as the old generation that did not want to praise God, the unfaithful generation, unfortunately perished in the wilderness, and now a new generation has risen up, and they're going in, but they faced the insurmountable walls of Jericho. I mean, Jericho had a reputation. Everyone in the world of the time knew that those thick walls of Jericho were impenetrable, insurmountable. How many of you have ever faced, maybe you're even facing now, what seems to be an insurmountable situation? Maybe it appears things are stacked against you. The odds are against you, and you've even had people tell you, man, this looks like an impossible situation. Come on, somebody. Oh, man, I'm facing the walls of Jericho right now, Pastor. Everyone around me knows these walls are impenetrable. They're insurmountable. These are the thickest walls. It's getting really thick, Pastor. I'm in the thick of it. I got good news for you. Come on, somebody, I got good news for you. I want to emphasize verses 15 and 16. As they were instructed for 7 days to go around, basically Israel, to march around, being led by the priests for 7 days. But on the seventh time, or on the seventh day, they were instructed to march around 7 times. By the way, that number 7 is so important. Remember, because the Bible says, when your enemies come against you, they shall be defeated before your face, and they shall flee from you in 7 ways. 7 is the number of completion. 7 is the number of fulfillment. That means God's going to give you complete victory. So whatever insurmountable odds you're facing, whatever you're in the thick of it right now, I'm here to tell you right now that you're about to get complete victory in the mighty name of Jesus. And on the 7th day, they rose early at daybreak and marched around the city as usual. However, this time it was a little bit different. Only on that day, they compassed the city 7 times. And the 7th time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, whisper, shout! Joshua said to the people, clap nicely. Shout! For the Lord has given you the city. For the Lord has given you the victory. Verse 20, so the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they raised a great shout and Jericho's wall fell down in its place. Like imploded. So that the Israelites went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The power of praise. The power of a shout. Some of you all trying to whisper your way into a breakthrough. Some of you are trying to complain your way into a breakthrough. Some of you all trying to whine your way into a breakthrough. It ain't gonna happen. It's gonna happen when you give the shout of praise, because there's power in your praise. Hallelujah. They took the city. And the whole world knew that there is a God who is with Israel. Come on, somebody. The third story I want to look at. In 2 Chronicles, we see the Moabites. It's always these Moabites. They're coming to bite. Hallelujah. The Moabites formed a great and powerful confederacy with the surrounding nations and marched against King Jehoshaphat. The allied forces were encamped at En-Gedi, and the king and his people were filled with distress and fear. However, they called, one of the prophets, we read this in verse 14, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. So you have to understand, Asaph, sons of Asaph, these were worship leaders. We have actually some psalms written by Asaph, right? So these were worship leaders, singers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon this young man, this Levite, the priest, sons of Asaph. Asaph in the midst of the assembly, and he begins to prophesy. And he said, listen, all of you Judah, by the way, you know Judah means praise. But instead of praising, they were complaining, they were fearful, they were distressed. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Listen, all of you Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to the Lord. That means God's going to fight for you. Turn to your neighbor, say, God's going to fight for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tomorrow go down against them. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up. Oh, yes. By the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. You will not need to fight this battle. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Position myself. Hallelujah. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Once again, do not fear or be dismayed for the second time. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Korahites, these are also the worship leaders, musicians, psalmists, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Jehoshaphat was a prosperity preacher. I like that. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, who had come against praise. See, Judah was to praise, but they forgot who they were. Some of y'all forgot who you are. And when they begin to do what they're supposed to do, be who they were called to be, praisers, it says their enemies were defeated. Amen. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. So the enemy turned on one another. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Complete and utter victory. Hallelujah. So I want to read this 24 in a different way. So when praise came to a place overlooking the enemy, praise always lifts you up to a place where you overlook your enemy. It raises you up to be at the top and not the bottom, above only, not beneath. Praise changes your perspective. The enemy tries to place a molehill before you and gets you to think it's insurmountable Mount Everest. God's in the business of taking Mount Everest and turning it into a molehill. Praise will change everything. Praise will change your attitude. Praise actually changes your perspective. That's why the Bible says, be mindful of things above, not beneath. When you're dealing with circumstances of life, the enemy wants you focused on those circumstances. So you're in distress, you're dismayed, you're fearful, you're afraid, you feel discouraged. Who's ever been there? Well, you know what? You need to change your perspective. You need to open your mouth and you need to begin to shout praises to God. That's the way you're going to overcome. That's the way you're going to overcome. My final story from the Bible, now we go to the New Testament. These three stories from the Old Testament. Now let's go to the New Testament, book of Acts, chapter 16. Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. There was an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped down and beaten with rods. Pastor, it's really tough. Really? Have you been stripped down and beaten with rods yet? Where your whole body aches and you're bleeding? It's even painful to lift your hands. Come on, somebody. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Have you ever had your feet fastened in stocks? It's not supposed to be comfortable. It's very painful. Their feet are bound. Their bodies are beaten, bleeding. They're in pain. They're thrown into a jail. Don't tell me your condition is bad. Verse 25 says, but about midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So the whole prison, somebody said the whole prison heard him. So they were not just like, well, let's just do quietly here. The whole prison heard them. They're not holding anything back. Suddenly. Everyone say suddenly. Get ready for the suddenlies of God. You want the suddenlies of God in your life? You invite the suddenlies of God when you begin to lift up a voice of praise. Lift up a voice of triumph. When you begin to lift up a shout of praise, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Not even just the prison, the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Not just Paul and Silas. Not just their prison cell, not just their stocks and chains, everyone's chains. It was like a ripple effect of freedom that was released in the atmosphere that shook the whole place. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. You know, I mean, his life is on the line. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." So they actually didn't leave. Think about their compassion for the jailer. Perspective. Everyone say perspective. It's not about just getting yourself out. We're called to set the captives free. Hallelujah. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. I mean, he's trembling. I mean, that earthquake is still going on. It shook the building, but now people are shaken. Hallelujah. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I mean, they didn't even have to pull out the gospel soul winning script. Such conviction came on the man because the whole atmosphere of bondage turned into the atmosphere of freedom. What must I do to be saved? When the power of God's released, makes preaching the gospel so much more powerful and easier, doesn't it? Hallelujah. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you and your household." When they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. What a move of God. Man, I want to see this kind of stuff. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy. Because he had come to believe in God, and he and his whole household. What a revival. I mean, praising, earthquake, jail doors swinging open. Chains being loosed, power of God released, jailers getting saved, people, whole family getting saved and baptized. joy. I mean, that's the book of Acts. That's our inheritance. That's our example. That's the blueprint. But Paul and Silas, they refused to take defeat. They refused to take this defeat. They refused to be defeated. They made a decision. We might be here, beaten, bleeding, in pain. Our feet are in stocks. If we can't move our feet, we'll clap. And they took those chains and turned them into a rhythm section. Cling, 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 cling. And they begin to sing and they begin to praise God. And they begin to lift up their voices so loud that the whole jail heard them. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Holy Ghost. You want the power and the presence of God in your life? You want the power of victory in your life? You're going to have to open your mouth and praise. I don't care if you're an introvert. Pastor, I'm just an introvert. Bring me a hammer. Put your thumb right there. I'm going to smack your thumb with a hammer. We'll find out how much of an introvert you are. You're going to let out the biggest shout. I don't know what you're going to have to do, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to move your feet. You're going to have to move your body. You're going to have to open your mouth and begin to shout and begin to sing and begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.